nolan@bbc.co.uk is the email if you would like to get in touch. Robert did just that. Good morning, Robert. Go ahead.
Hello.
Good morning. Why did you get in touch with the programme?
Vinny, we really appreciate what you and Stephen Nolan do for Ulster, and I'd like to just bring up a problem we've had on Sunday. I live in the Omagh area, and we're 10 minutes from the ambulance station in Omagh. We had a person with a heart complaint, and the ambulances were called, and their feedback to us was we hadn't got any coverage for our area now on Sunday. And
Who told you that?
They're saying that they were told over the phone that there's no ambulance coverage in Omagh on Sunday.
So on Sunday, somebody collapsed. And how long was the wait then for the ambulance?
At least an hour and a half before the paramedic arrived.
And what happened in the meantime?
Well, the local people gathered round and put her in a car and took her to the hospital. Fortunately, everything's okay there. But what concerns me is that hour and a half waiting time for an ambulance and this rumour that we've got no ambulance coverage in Omagh on a Sunday. Hello, Vinny.
Yeah. Let's speak now to Brian McNeil, the Director of Operations for the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. Good morning to you, Brian.
Good morning, Vinny.
I'm sure the concern, apart from wherever you might be when you call an ambulance, is the wait time and the issue that it's quite close to, the ambulance centre is quite close to where this happened.
Well, Vinny, first of all, I do apologise for the delay in response on the Sunday. However, there is good. First of and secondly, I want to clarify that we do have cover in Omagh every Sunday. We plan to put on 3 emergency ambulances in Omagh and 1 rapid response vehicle. What happened on this particular occasion was that all of the ambulances were engaged in other calls. The only thing available was the rapid response car. This call came in to the control centre. It was triaged through our call tech process. It was deemed to be a non-life-threatening call. It did require a 19-minute response as category B. However, we decided to hold the rapid response car back in case there was a higher priority emergency on this occasion.
So, can I just say, we've come to this a little bit closer than you, so if you can both stay there, Brian and Robert, we'll come back to you after your news. Welcome back to the programme. Just before the news there, we heard from Robert, and this is about a lady who collapsed in Mountjoy on Sunday, and there was a wait of around an hour and a half for the ambulance. We also have Brian McNeil on the line, the Director of Operations for Northern Ireland Ambulance Service. Hello again to you, Brian. Just before we hit the news there, you said that in terms of the rapid response vehicle, when calls come in, they are assessed. You said that it was held back in case there was a more serious call that came in and it was needed for that. Is that right?
That's correct, Vinny. On this particular occasion, the call came through the 999 line. We prioritised it as being a non-life-threatening call. However, in addition to that, the call was then transferred across to our clinical support desk, where we have a team of highly specialised paramedics who then engaged with the caller, took more history from the caller, and on the basis of that, I believe the decision then was made that we would wait for the next available transporting ambulance. The caller was advised that that would be some time because all of the ambulances in the area were engaged in other work.
And I understand that, and that might be the policy that you guys have, but surely that can't have meant a lot of comfort to the person that had collapsed and that was concerned about their own health and those around them. Like, it does seem, to an outsider like myself, like an unusual policy to have. To hold a rapid response vehicle back, because the whole title of that, rapid response, but not now, we're going to keep it here.
Yes, but the call did not warrant a rapid response. That's the point. And the whole issue here, Vinny, is we don't have enough ambulances to be able to send to every call in 8 minutes. So in this particular case, it was deemed to be clinically safe to hold back and the caller advised of that, we had the details of the caller, and we were able to stay in touch with them.
In terms of clinically safe, and we want to respect this person's privacy, so we're not talking about them in particular, but how do you assess with a high degree of accuracy someone's clinical need down the phone?
We assess it by actually taking the details from the caller. And
who's possibly not medically trained.
Who possibly is not medically trained. Okay, well, let me put it to you like this one. I'm going to move this on a bit for you. At this point in time, we take the call, we put it through a software program, and we, from that information and from the algorithms in that, we determine whether it's A, category a life-threatening call, B, not life-threatening, but serious enough to warrant an emergency ambulance response, usually in 21 minutes, or C, neither life-threatening nor requiring an emergency response. Now, that algorithm and those times, particularly the 8-minute response, the category A 8-minute response, are based on people who are in cardiac arrest. They are unconscious and not breathing. So the system we use at the moment actually over-triages the number of ambulance calls that we send out to people trying to make an 8-minute response time. And in the future, we're out of consultation now at the moment in proposing to change that whole process. And in future, to get back to your point, when a caller rings, the first question we will ask them is the patient conscious and are they breathing? If they are not conscious and not breathing, we will find the closest and quickest available ambulance response and be there in 8 minutes. If they are conscious and breathing, we will take further, longer time to engage with the caller, find out what the patient's condition is, what their needs are, and then send a more appropriate response in a more appropriate time.
Okay. Brian, just before you go, you can talk to us about review strategies for the actual service going ahead. What are the plans? What do you want to do?
In the future?
Yes.
We want to introduce this new call take process. And that will involve the public accepting the new way of us managing calls. So we will get to the sickest patients in a quicker time.
So some people could have to wait longer.
People could have to wait longer, yes. We have a finite resource. We don't have enough ambulances to cover the demand at the moment. So we deal with 220,000 calls per year. Our demand is increasing 3% every year. We need more ambulances, more cover on the ground at the moment, and we are engaging with the department in terms of making a case for that.
And that policy, is that in place? Was that implemented on Sunday, or is this in the near future?
No, this is in the near future. As I said to you, we're out under consultation at the moment. It closes on the 18th of January. If the public want to go onto our website, they can read about it, they can respond and give us their views on it. But it is a quantum change from how we do things at the moment. And it is very important for both us in being able to provide a safe, efficient and effective service, and very important for the public that they understand what that service will be.
And I know that there's probably a lot of detail in that. You've suggested and told us some of the detail already, but just to give us a little more of an idea of what that would actually mean if this goes through for people that pick up the phone and dial 999.
So for people who ring 999, it means that if you are in a calling, either on behalf of yourself or someone else, and it's an immediately life-threatening call. So if it's cardiac arrest, someone drowning, someone involved in a serious road traffic collision, we will endeavour to get to you as quickly as we possibly can.
But sure, is that not policy at the moment?
That is still the policy at the moment, yes. But the difference here is that we're trying to do 30% of the total 999 calls we're trying to get to in 8 minutes under the new system. We believe we can reduce that target down to 10%. So, in other words, there are 20% of people that we're trying to get to in 8 minutes that really don't clinically require an ambulance in that time. So it takes the pressure off the system. It means that we can target those who are immediately life-threatening, the sickest, and give them the highest and higher priority. And it means then that we can have an appropriate and better response for the rest. But they may have to wait a little longer.
So what kind of issues could those 20% that were included in that 8-minute call time but now won't be, what kind of issues could they have?
In terms of clinical condition?
Yeah.
Well, they could vary from people who have had minor injuries, people who have got a medical condition. It could be people, for example, who are having a stroke. They don't need a rapid response car in 8 minutes. They need a conveying ambulance to be able to get to them and take them to a stroke centre in less than an hour. So it's about matching the most appropriate response to the clinical condition as much as about time.
Is this, in your opinion, the best way forward, or is this simply the only way forward because of the resources you have?
Well, it's a way forward that has been tested in both England, Scotland and Wales, who were faced with a similar problem as we are faced with now in terms of demand outstripping supply of ambulances. They have introduced this new process. They have tested it and put 14 million calls through the process without any serious adverse incidents. It is a better way of providing the service.
It just seems to me, and you can correct me, and I know you will, Brian, but it seems that it's being driven, and I know that at the core of what you all do is to try and save lives and to help people. But this policy, it seems to be driven by resources, and you could strip that back another layer and say it's being driven by money or the lack of it. And that's what will concern people when it comes to their health.
Okay. And you are correct. It is being driven by resources, and it's about using resources more efficiently and effectively. So what we're saying is that for people who need us very quickly, we think we will be able to provide a better service and, as you said, save more lives. For the rest, we will be able to use our resources more efficiently and effectively.
Is there any risk that this could put anyone at risk in terms of their health because there will be fewer people got to within a short space of time?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to say to you that the introduction of the new model will require investment. So we will have to recruit and employ up to 300 more staff as a starter for 10. So we will have more cover throughout Northern Ireland when we introduce this new model. And I think that in itself will ensure that we address any potential risks. The current system, we have too few ambulances and too many calls.
So we need to spend money to help try and save money.
Exactly.
And there's no other way to try and do that, to try and sort of put in that money and to try and reduce that waiting time for the 10% instead of 30%. I assume that the amount of money isn't comparable.
Well, the clinical evidence and the research, and this has been researched by lots of academic bodies and been tested and piloted, would suggest that it's not required.
But again, I just get confused then because I'm wondering, is this being done because it's the best way to do it, or is this being done because it will help save money or you do more with the money that you have? Because they're not necessarily the same thing.
It's a combination of both. It is the best way to do it. So not every 999 call requires an 8-minute blue light response. And secondly, that in having more time to be able to take more information from the caller and work out the best possible response, both the skill set and the type of ambulance, will mean a better service for patients.
So if it's the best way, as you say, if you had the finances to make the current system do exactly what it's meant to do, would you stay with what you have now or would you move into this new system?
Well, we actually tested that, Vinny, against the targets that were currently set for us. And the new way is a better way. We feel that putting more resources into the current model would not be efficient or effective.
Okay. All right, Brian, thank you very much. That's Brian McNeil from the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service.